Water, or lack thereof, is maybe the most important issue facing Nevada. One indicator of that importance, the Great Basin Water Network just hired its first full-time executive director. Great Basin's mission, as its website says, is to protect the water resources of the Great Basin for current and future residents. In real terms, that means fighting efforts by Las Vegas and the Southern Nevada Water Authority to secure groundwater rights and build a pipeline to pull water from eastern Nevada. Kyle Roerink is Great Basin's new executive director. Kyle, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Joe.
So, Kyle, tell us why your group, Great Basin Water Network, went from volunteer to having this staff of you.
Well, you know, that is a great question. I mean, we have been an organization that has run on volunteer diesel fuel for many, many years, and it's been an organization that has stood toe-to-toe with Sunwa. It's been an organization that's been winning the fight against Sunwa. I want to emphasize that.
Sunwa, you're talking to the Southern Nevada Water Authority?
Correct, okay. Correct. And I'll use that as shorthand throughout the discussion. The volunteers and board members, they're indefatigable. They have waged the classic underdog David and Goliath story in Nevada, and they're going to stay a part of this fight. They want someone who can handle the day-to-day operations a little bit more. So many of them have been fighting on so many issues for so many years. This is just the incremental next step of any organization that knows it's got a long fight ahead.
But Kyle, is it the real reason because there is more of a threat to water resources, the groundwater water resources in rural counties around Las Vegas?
Yeah, absolutely. About a third of the groundwater in the state is over-appropriated. So there's essentially more rights to water than there's water that's actually available. There's plenty of paper water, but when it comes to actual H2O, you know, we just don't have what's on paper. And with rising temperatures and increased periods of drought, groundwater sources are experiencing reduced levels of recharge. And so there are a lot of different fights going on, whether it's at the regulatory level in front of the state engineer, whether it's our battles against the pipeline in court, or whether it's in the legislature where you have forces that are trying to change the definitions of water law to benefit their own interests. Yeah, there's a lot going on right now.
Water is a huge issue. And I know this is complex and it goes back years, but very briefly, because you brought up Southern Nevada Water Authority, describe your group's dispute with SNWA.
We do not want a $15.5 billion 300-mile pipeline that would start near the border of Elko County and go to Las Vegas and would affect Spring, Cave, Del Mar, Dry Lake, and Snake Valleys. When we talk about how much water is at stake here, imagine a football field filled up with 1 foot of water. Multiply that by 175,000 football fields annually. And then Sunwa, they just want to do that in perpetuity. 57 billion gallons of water per year, and you take it from one desert in the heart of the Great Basin, and then you shift it to another desert. Now, there's just not that type of water available in eastern Nevada. It just doesn't exist. So that's what this fight is all about. And time again in the courts, when Sunwa has been asked to empirically demonstrate if the water that they want exists, they just haven't been able to do it. And that's why this battle still continues, is because there's, you know, been certain types of appeals in multiple courts and on our behalf too.
Okay.
But it's, you know, the water is not there.
So your biggest fight really is against this so-called water grab, as some have put it. And that would happen, I guess, if a water pipeline were built to take groundwater from rural counties around Las Vegas. But, Kyle, Las Vegas is growing. So when you make that argument, do you offer something as a compromise? Is there another solution? Because Las Vegas has 3/4 of the state's people living in and around it. Where are they going to get the water? Do you tell them just stop growing?
What we say is obviously you need smart conservation, but you also need realistic innovation. And what we are advocating for and will continue to advocate for is desalination. We are at a point in history where it is becoming feasible to do it. Are we ready to buy into a desal plant tomorrow? No. Are we at the point where we need to buy into a desal plant tomorrow? And, you know, I tip my hat to Sunhwa for what it has done in recent years to ensure that we're not at that point tomorrow. But we need to prepare and we need to get there, and desal is definitely a way to do that. So whether it is the legislature that begins an investigation into desal, whether it is an administrative study to start taking this seriously, we support that and we're going to be pushing for that. And one thing I wanted to point out, Joe, is that so often this is characterized as a north versus south battle, a rural versus urban battle, and it's not lost on me that this was a battle-born state in the Civil War, and we're having, you know, a regional conflict over resources. But as Governor Sandoval often says, we are one Nevada. And I think one thing about the water network that is often lost in this debate is that we are advocating for Southern Nevada Water Authority ratepayers. We are advocating for them because the water is not there. So if we go ahead and spend more than $15 billion on a piece of infrastructure that isn't going to last for future generations, Southern Nevada ratepayers are still going to be holding the bag.
I'm talking to Kyle Roerink. He's the new executive director of the environmental group Great Basin Water Network. Real briefly on desalination plants, which you've talked about. The idea there, and correct me if I'm wrong, is we would basically pay California, give California the money to build desalination plants or a plant on the ocean, and then we would take some of their water that they get from Lake Mead now, the Colorado River, and keep that for ourselves.
That's right. You know, California or Mexico, those are the viable options.
Is that what you are going to be pushing in 2019? I mean, is that going to be the focus of Great Basin Water Network's message with state lawmakers in the session that begins in February?
Talking about desal is definitely going to be a big part of what we do. And I think the other side of things is just educating more folks about what's at stake here. The BLM did a study in 2011 that said the water grab would harm 305 springs, 112 miles of streams, 8,000 acres of wetlands, and 191,000 acres of wildlife habitat. In other words, that's threatening life as we know it in the Great Basin for all flora, fauna, and humans in the desert. I think educating them on what's at stake out there and how that would ultimately affect their own communities and in their own districts. Whether we're talking about desal or the effects of the water grab, you know, there's a lot that we need to talk about.
Do you expect lawmakers in the upcoming session, again, that does begin in February, to address any of this? Or is it just mostly now a lobbying effort where you don't think a bill is actually going to come out yet?
There's a bill sponsored by the state engineer right now called AB 30, and we'll just call it what it is. It's the pipeline bill, and we have some issues with it, and there needs to be significant changes to it. There's going to be a lot of conversations about the current water situation in the state. There's another bill, AB 51, out there. This isn't a hypothetical. There will be conversations about what we should and shouldn't do. Also, the incoming governor-elect will have to pick a new state engineer to replace the retiring Jason King, and there's definitely going to be a lot on the plate of the new state engineer, and we want to be a part of those conversations.
Now, you, in your previous life, just a couple months ago, helped run the campaign for Question 6, which will require electric utilities to increase use of renewables. Voters passed that easily in November. I wonder if you see an alignment between people who favored renewable and alternative energy and your stance on water issues. I guess what I'm getting at is, what's your sense of public support against a water pipeline?
You know, one thing I have seen for years in Nevada, in the years that I've worked here, is that there is a thirst, no pun intended, for innovation. There is a desire to be known as an innovator, whether it comes down to conservation or renewable energy generation. I believe there is a nexus. And then when you look at the nuts and bolts of energy generation, it's just a clear fact that producing solar electricity requires a heck of a lot less water than it does to power a natural gas plant or a coal plant. And so I think a lot of Nevadans have all of these things in mind whenever they are talking about the type of infrastructure that they want for their utilities. And, you know, we're talking about flipping light switches and turning on faucets. These are things that we all do multiple times every day, and more. And question six proved that, is that we want to do it responsibly. And we're getting to the point, fortunately, where we can do it without really harming ourselves financially.
Kyle Roehring just started as the new executive director for the Great Basin Water Network, which is fighting efforts to bring water via a pipeline from rural Nevada to Las Vegas. Kyle, thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.